All right, if you can find your way back to your seat, we're going to jump in. All right, I have, of course, lots of stories I can tell from time in Puerto Rico at some point. Certainly we can get to those, but Eli and myself, so my middle son and I went to Puerto Rico. We were there from Wednesday to Monday. We ran a 5K on Saturday, and we were with our friends and partners, Jonathan, Christina, Ocasio. We stayed with them, and then with their church, Matazul. They have three campuses on the island of Puerto Rico, three kind of church campuses in different spots, and we did the run on the west, far west side of the island, and the main campus, if you will, that Jonathan and I taught at was more, it's near San Juan. So we did that. They had two gatherings. And at the end, toward the end of the second gathering, we had just finished teaching. We were doing a kind of a response song, and then it started raining. But when it started raining, like raining so hard, it was so loud, but it was like, I was like, holy cow, that's something. Like, what is that? And it was raining, but everyone was just singing, and then the band just went into another song. And I after the first gathering, I said, "We didn't do that. This first one." He goes, "No one's going to leave." I said, "Oh yeah, good point." And he's like, "So we'll just keep going. They want to sing, and then everybody's like, we're just going to hang out anyways." And I go, "Should we get back up and teach?" He goes, "You want to? Like, we can get up and do more." We didn't, but we like just kept, the band kept playing, and we just kept singing. But what was so interesting, like, then we went out to lunch afterwards, it was great. And then it was like, you know, while we were eating lunch, like, it stopped raining and everything, and I was like, wow, that was, but I'm like, it rained pretty hard there for, you know, a little bit. And again, 20 minutes, half hour maybe. And he goes, "Yeah, that's probably the hurricane." He said, "Best we know, it's the hurricane." When it hit Jamaica. And he's like, "Yeah." And I go, "Oh, that seems like something." So I say that because apparently back here, everyone was like, "Oh." They didn't blink. They didn't even talk about it. Like, I was like, "Oh, hurricane, what's going on?" I didn't even know. And they're like, "Oh, it's, you know, they said it was going to maybe hit us, but it didn't." And I'm like, "Well, that seems like a big deal. What do you all do?" And he said, "Well, you're looking at it. It happens all the time." And you're like, "Wow, that's fascinating." And so when I got home, my wife was telling me, "Oh, yeah," everyone was like, "Oh." And even like, "Are Wally and Eli okay?" And we didn't even know until we literally got home. I didn't know it was a thing. So that was just like, it was very, very different. And even like, you know, we lost power there, but they had solar panels. And he's like, "How often do you guys lose power at home?" And I go, "I don't know, once a year." And he goes, "Oh, we usually like once a week." I kid you not. And the whole time we were there, the water wasn't working on the island. Like water. And he's like, "So we have gas, we do this," and we didn't know. And he's like, yeah. "So we're doing this right now. It's going to probably be out," they said, "maybe 2 weeks. And I said, "Well, that's kind of," he's like, "Well, how often do you guys lose water?" "No, you don't know what you mean by lose water." I said, "We don't lose water." He goes, "Oh, okay. Got it. Good." And I could tell lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff of our time there and conversations we had, and certainly the surfing we did on Thursday. That is fantastic. The feeling of riding a wave all the way into shore and then just stepping off the board is magical. I was like, this is incredible. And how quickly Eli and I'm watching Eli pick it up, was amazing. And we had a teacher like show us, but it wasn't so much about, it wasn't try hard, It was posture yourself. And that's literally part of my teaching that I did then on Sunday is it's not about trying harder. It's literally the posture you have towards creation. And it was just one, for an hour and a half, Eli and I tried really hard to surf and just completely kept on just crashing and could not get up almost a couple times. Teacher comes over, go on shore, a 10 minute, he goes, here's what we're going to do. First of all, and it's just posture. And he just walks us through it. And we go through it for 10 minutes and we go out on the waves after an hour and a half of trying. First time up. Boop, boop. And I was like, I literally looked at the guy and I said, how did I just do that? He goes, posture. Just relax. Bend your knees. And he said, ride. And it was like balancing. I'm like, come on now. And he's like, you're doing great. And I said, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. That was the thing. It was so weird. But it was this rhythm and flow and goodness and beauty and all sorts of good stuff. So anyways, we had a blast. It was good. It was so good to spend time with our partners there. They raised lots of money for, they're building a roof on the basketball court at the campus at Cabo Rojo. And they have a school there in which, so it's a part of the school. And so they're just doing some phenomenal things and they want to teach us and they want to come and run with us. And so we're going to work on some things so that we can continue to grow that partnership with Marazul in Puerto Rico so that you all can go and experience the goodness. And it is really simple travel, if you will. You don't need passports. Apparently educating, like Puerto Rico is a part of America. So it's a territory, but it's, so that, you know, you don't need anything. Eli, like we brought identification for him and like going to the airport and they're just like, no, just give us your, no, like he had got his thing out and they're like, no, just scan. You got a ticket for him to fly? Yeah, just scan that. And we'll see his face. Good enough for us. That's the face. Good. Because I had a birth certificate and they go, we don't put your, just get moving. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. My goodness. So anyways, that was that. I had brought my running shoes and one other pair of shoes that I was wearing. That's it. That was hard for me. Two pair of shoes, shoes I had on, shoes I had to run in. What about shoes to teach in? Anyways, it's just ridiculous. That's my ridiculousness. I'd love to pray. We're going to continue with this. Gracious God, you are good. You're so, so good. And you meet us right where we are. You love us, God. And that is a gift. It is such a gift. And so we open our hearts and minds and lives up to you now. And God, our hope and our prayer is just simply to immerse ourselves in what you are up to, what you've already been up to, and what you want to teach us as a community, God, and as individuals. And so, God, as the psalmist said, may the posture and the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, simply bring honor and glory to you, our Lord, our rock, and our Savior. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Grateful for last week that you all gathered. Obviously, do as you do to my father-in-law for teaching and just thrilled in the way in which you all have in the midst of transition and always kind of just the pliability and flexibility that you are as a community in the midst of things when there's change and difference and all of that stuff. It just without a hitch. And I know you're even thinking, I don't even understand why you're saying that because maybe you're used to it, but it's a gift and super grateful for that. And in this series, what we've been doing is looking at words in the Hebrew first, but then also in the Greek, what we find in the scriptures and how important they are into how we live our lives, how they shape the narrative of the scriptures, the biblical library, how it moves. And we've done this in a particular order because there is a movement with the text. There is a movement in what is going on and how we interact with these words and how they shape us, teach us, and grow us. And so I often, or Usually as much as I can, when I greet you, when I see you, when we're together, I often begin by saying, much love, good people. That is not just, oh, well, that's what he says, that's a greeting. There is an intentional reason for that. And so I want to get behind actually why I say good people this morning. Because to get there, we're going to get to the word within that. But to get there, we need to address the idea of perfection, perfectionism, perfect. The idea of being perfect. Any recovering perfectionists here? Yes. This idea that I will only do it. So even sometimes you get invited maybe to do something and you're like, well, I'll only do it if I can do it perfectly. If I can do it, there's a certain way to get done. Believe me, there are things that I do that take way too long because it has to be done a certain way. People often ask, I don't know why, Pastor, I have no idea why. Do you golf, Wally? I don't golf. I've gone golfing, but I cannot golf. Why? Because there will be one hole, and like I'll get par. I'll birdie a hole, and I'll be like, ooh, that was good. And then the next one, I'll lose 15 balls on that hole, and it drives me bats. Woo, nutso. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that sport. Because if I do, I'm all in, and then no one will ever see me, ever, until I, master it. So it's too maddening, because it's too all over the place, and I've got to conquer it. And it's got to be perfect. We got to do that. I just hit that perfect shot. And then the next shot, I'm like, what? It went behind me. No, can't do it. So maybe for you, though, it's then an approach to life in terms of how your kids behave. And we're like, ooh, kids got to behave a certain way. Maybe it's how I look. I gotta look a certain way or appear a certain way, at least to others. Maybe it's the house. Got to have the right house or the job. The job communicates a lot. So I got to have the perfect job. Things have to be situated perfectly. Whatever that may be, fill in the blank into somehow perfectionism creates a bit of a in us. Or maybe like me, you have an unpleasant voice in your head that somehow just is always hitting rewind on that one conversation, that one season of life in which things were crooked, off, broken, didn't go well, and there is that thing that just keeps hitting rewind, and you're like, oh, if I could say that again, or if I had that conversation, if I could do that relationship over, if I had that little season, I would do, and it just sits there, and all it does is tick away at your brain and your heart in ways, and you're like, oh, so what we need is something in there to disrupt that voice. So all of these reasons invite us to study, revisit, and pay deep attention to the very beginning of the biblical narrative. Because the beginning, the story, it gives us a significant shift that is needed in the perspective of perfectionism. It moves us into a better place. We would certainly call it a theology, a way of life that is healthier. And I trust, and really do trust, that it can change everything when we get it, when we lock into this. So we're going to go to the beginning. In the beginning, Genesis. In the beginning, God created. And God created in the midst of wild and waste, as the story goes. In the beginning, God created out of chaos, and he created order. And there is rhythm, and there is creation. But within this, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says this, God created, and God said then, in the midst of all this, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was what? Good. Hang on to that. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening. And there was morning the first day. There's a rhythm. There's a movement here. The Hebrew word we translate as good is the word tov. Go ahead and say tov. Now, transliterated, it looks like this. T-O, like we would say T-O-B, so it looks like tob. But it's pronounced tov. tov. And what it means in the Hebrew is becoming beautiful, green as in fresh, to be joyful. Tov communicates that something or someone is as God intended it to be in creating, but it's becoming, as in it's just getting started. It's fresh and green, and it's just getting started. God says, oh, it's good, but it's becoming. It's not done. So this is where it's really important. God creates that which is tov. Then there's going to be tasking humanity to steward the tov forward, because it's going to become. And so someone has to steward the becoming forward, so it becomes all that it was created to be. Now, there in the beginning, there are seven toves in the narrative in Genesis chapter 1. There are seven toves. That's, of course, in Hebrew consciousness, seven is completeness, wholeness. And so even within that, there are seven. And that's Genesis 1, verse 4, verse 10, verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, 25. And then the seventh one is verse 31, when it says, and then God looked at all that he created, and it was me'od tov. It was very good. Me'od means exceedingly or much. And so it's rare that they put an adjective in the Hebrew language, but what they're saying is God looks at it and says, oh, it's stunning. Tov, it's all becoming. It's all just getting started. It's green. It's fresh. And this is really important, because I hope what you're hearing, or maybe not hearing, is it is not perfect. And if you're like, wait a minute, we're going to get there. The next really important aha in the creation of it's tov, it's good, it's becoming, is found in verse 11. And verse 11 says this, then God's creating all this plant, life, and all of this according to the various kinds. There are different kinds, various kinds, various kinds, various kinds, various kinds, various kinds. We have this, and what this highlights is there's harmony within the diversity. In the beginning, there is harmony within diversity. Everything is not the same, it's different. Yet there is harmony within all of this various kinds. Creation is becoming, and yet it's working within this harmony, this rhythm, this goodness, but yet it's diverse. So I want to pause so we do not miss this. In the beginning, then, all of creation, including humanity, is first and foundationally baked in tov. Goodness. It is good. This is where the story begins. This is that which is deepest within is tov. That's important, because when people talk about the story, where it all began, it began with goodness, with tov. That's where it all is. So, what is deepest within all of creation, including you and I, is tov. That's what's deepest within. Yet there is a difference in uniqueness within all of the becoming. Everything is not the same, so built into the very beginning is the invitation to pay attention and acknowledge the differences and uniqueness of it all. And why that's important, we pay attention to the differences and uniquenesses, as one author and pastor says it like this: when we respect the image of God in others, we protect the image of God in us. So when we can look at someone and understand they're not exactly like me, there's uniqueness. And when we go, that is a gift, that is beautiful, that you're not exactly like me, but foundationally there is a goodness. When we do that, we actually protect the image of God in ourselves. And that's really important. Secondly, verse 11 launches us into another important dimension of tov. Verse 11 goes like this. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation. Who produced vegetation? Oh, fascinating. The land did. Seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. Fascinating. Notice it didn't say God produced vegetation. Rather, God equips creation with the capacity to keep creating. It's brilliant and beautiful. So what this dynamic creation is doing then is going to continue to produce, move things forward. It's going to continue becoming. So what is so important at this point then again is stewardship. If creation is going to continue to produce and become, what is really important then is stewardship of this creation. Because that takes us to verse 27 and 28 of chapter 1 that reads like this. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and what? Subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, within the midst of all this toveness, including humanity, there is a task and a purpose for humanity to steward creation forward. The two words here, though, that we read that are really important, subdue is the Hebrew word kavas. Go ahead and say kavas. It means to knead or massage. It's a stewardship term, like kneading dough, massaging it. Really important. And then the other one is rule is radah. Go ahead and say radah. It means to, and I love this, to tread with feet, aka wine press. It's literally a picture, because Hebrew is often a picture, and it's then doing what? It's treading on the grapes to make wine. It's a stewardship term. These two words are about stewardship, very different than terms of abusive extraction or greedy consumption. We're in charge, we rule over, we conquer, we'll do whatever we want with it. That's not what the Hebrew is communicating. You're in charge of it to steward it in it, all of its becoming. In its toveness, keep guiding toveness forward so it can become all that it was created to be. Are you with me? You see the difference there is not mine, I'll do what I want, and I'll take as much as I want. Rather, massage it and knead it forward so that it continues to become in a good way. Oh my goodness, I love it so much. In short, creation is going to move forward. It can't help it. It is loaded with a dynamism that leads it to grow, change, and become. Which means humanity, from the beginning until now, are environmentalists. From the very beginning, the first humans, I need you to guide this thing forward. Take creation and steward it forward. We do not and cannot live independently of the tove world that God has placed us in. We are intimately connected to it by God. So when we speak of the beginning, the word to describe the garden God created and organized is not perfect. It is tove. Why we say that is because why highlight the difference? Because when we say perfect, what we generally mean is static, fixed, and unchanging. It's done. It will not change. It is finished. That's typically how we think of perfect, which is a very Greek understanding of perfect. Where in the Hebrew, tov guarantees that there will be change. Because it's just getting started. It's not done. So if we say in the beginning, like, oh, in the garden was perfect, if what we mean by perfect is it is as God intended it to be, yes. But is it done, stuck, finished? Nope. It's just getting started, actually. It's a big, big deal. So it's becoming, growing, and maturing from a beginning that God intended. The text provides us with the generative and dynamic movement with the sentence, and there was evening and there was morning. What does that say? If there is evening and there is morning, it's a movement. Which is to say, the creation, let's think of the sun, sets. Then it's going to rise. It's continuing. It's moving. It's not stuck. It's not done. It's dynamic. And it's built into the rhythm. Creation isn't static or frozen, it's becoming. The sun sets, the sun rises. Let's look at some modern examples then of the difference between the Hebrew Tov and the Greco-Roman, if you will, understanding of perfect. Let's say Tov is seen as fruit. Next slide. Tov is seen as fruit. When you get a banana, say you get a bunch of bananas and they're green, do you eat them? Maybe. But what you typically do is, I'm going to get them because I have four left on the counter. So I'm going to get another bunch that are green. So when these four are gone, that these should be, why would they be, these will be what? Yellow. Why? Because they're still becoming. They're created to move. And even if you, so then if you don't get them, oh, they're yellow, then they move to this, and you might go, oh, now, yeah, but now they're rotten. No, they're not. Now they're perfect for making banana bread. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But so let's not call them rotten. They continue to become. Now they're just used for a different purpose, but they're continuing to become. They're tov. There's movement. That's the way God created it. Our task is to manage it. Now, a good example of the ancient Greco-Roman depiction of perfect can be found in their sculptures. Next slide. This is a sculpture of the torso. This is called the Belvedere torso. It was sculpted in 1 BCE. Okay, first century before Christ, however you say BCE, before Common Era, this torso became the standard. It was, they worked so hard to create the perfect torso. And then they worked from this to make, eventually, the David statue was based on that torso. And then this statue is Discobolus, is what it's called, by the artist Myron, from around, ready, 460 to 450 BCE is when the original was created. Now, Sarah and I saw a couple replicas and then parts of the original, as we understand it, in Rome, when we were in Rome a couple years ago. But you understand, and what they were doing, though, what they do with sculptures is they make them perfect. That fella isn't alive. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to change. That is as it is. So they're like sculpting, and they're like, they then sculpted statues of the Caesars, which maybe in the face there was some resemblance, but there was a whole lot in the body that you go, no, listen, I've seen pictures of Nero, and he doesn't look like that statue. Because he wasn't, but what we want to do is we want to create a depiction of him that models something to everyone that says power, strength, perfection. And so they do that. And we have our own ways of doing that. People magazine every year comes out with an issue called Sexiest Man Alive. And so there is this element of, we're going to put out this thing that says, here is the ideal. Here is the beautiful. Because another thing they do is they also then have an issue called the most beautiful people. So, next slide. Yeah, I know. And it's, I get Brad Pitt during the Fight Club days. Sure. But that's when they're like, this is it. This is the ideal. Next one. Most beautiful people issue is now we're going to put on, and what to listen, everyone pay attention, because this is beautiful. This is the ideal, as what they're communicating. Let's highlight what we think of as beautiful or perfect. But this Greco-Roman idea of perfection actually leaves us broken. When we're like, this is the ideal, what that tends to do in us is, then I got to look this way, I've got to get that, I've got to figure out how to match up and land that, and that actually leaves us broken. Striving, bending, trying to get something that we now think, or the society says, well, this is perfect. Which leaves us in deep trouble, and the author Anne Lamott says it really well. She says, perfectionism is the voice of the oppressor, the enemy of the people. When we set it up, what that does is it actually feels like a weight on us that we are trying to get off. Now, we're going to turn back to the scriptures, go to wisdom literature, the Psalms specifically, to look at a more accurate, full spectrum understanding of life. I'm going to read, I want to set the context, so I'll read. We'll be in Psalm 92, you don't have to put it up quite yet, because I want to read the beginning of it and lead into what they're talking about here in the Psalm. The psalmist is writing a song, and specifically a song for the Sabbath day. Let's write a song that moves us towards rest. Healing, restoration, renewal. So it's good. It is good. It is tov to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You exalted my horn, which is my strength, like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. Now ready? We turn to the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. And now the next one is the verse 14 is where we get to. They will still, the righteous will still bear fruit in old age. In old age, they will stay fresh and green. In old age, there is a toveness to those that walk with the divine. There is a freshness within that. Proclaiming in this, the proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no wickedness in him. There is a freshness, a greenness, a becoming, even in old age. Which sets us up to the New Testament, one of the early Christians, a fellow named Paul, writing to the churches, and he's specifically writing, ready, to churches, house churches, in the city of Corinth, which is in Greece. So it is Greek through and through. In the midst of the Greco-Roman world and context, Paul writes to the churches in Corinth, and he says this. They're facing all of that Greco-Romanness. And he says, we do not lose heart, followers of Jesus. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. God is cultivating and renewing our toveness, even though it looks a little rough on the outside, which I love Eugene Peterson, the Message paraphrase that looks like this. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us. Yep. On the inside, where God is making new life. Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Now that word renewed or new is anakainao. Go ahead and say anakainao. And it means this. Anakainao means to cause to grow up, mature, make new. God is taking tov and growing it up, but renewing it. And so inside, there is always this newness and freshness that God is desiring to mature, to grow up, to keep becoming. Even though on the outside, the wheels seem to be falling off. inside, God is capable and is always making things fresh and new and maturing. And so we can be, and we find then this where you get this idea of the village elder. Someone you're like, man, they're growing older, we might say, but there is a youthfulness. There is a zest, a zeal. There is a freshness and a wisdom to them. What is going on? Yeah, God's creating new life within in such a fantastic way. That which is deepest within us is simply being matured and grown up, but there is always a greenness, a toveness about it. And I would say the lyrical poet Ed Sheeran says it like this: your soul can never grow old, it's evergreen. Ed here is singing about the woman he loves, and he says, even as you grow old, I will continue to love you, because even though on the outside you're changing, the inside is simply becoming fresh and green and always stunning. It's almost as if Ed Sheeran has tapped into the Apostle Paul. Literally paraphrasing what Paul said, in what he is speaking about, and maybe Ed doesn't even know it. And I kind of find that fantastic. So somebody could come up to him and said, Ed, you are just stunning with the biblical narrative and the way you speak of it and sing of it. And Ed goes, what? Well, let's go grab a Guinness and talk about it, because he's from, anyways. Thanks. Practically speaking, as followers of Jesus, we are to be honest about the full spectrum of life. All of creation, including you and I, we're becoming. We are growing and maturing and becoming more. Our role is to partner, walk with the divine and partner with the divine in stewarding the toveness forward. Are you with me? But maybe has been pointed out to you, or you have pointed it out to others. Whoa. In the Bible, it specifically says we are to be perfect. Which you're talking about Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. It's a sermon Jesus gives, and it says this: be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is Jesus here teaching, but here's the thing. The word perfect in the Greek is teleos, and it means full grown, mature, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. What it's saying is grow up, mature. Keep maturing, keep becoming like God is mature. That's the context. And by the way, this in Matthew 5:48 is kind of in the, like, at the beginning in some ways of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus starts from a place and begins with, God meets you in your nothingness, the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. God will meet you in your complete and utter immaturity, bankruptness, nothingness, and God will walk with you and watch you and help you grow and mature. And then you get to this: so that you will be mature in God. There is a movement within the sermon. He is touching on all that he already spoke about. He's not saying, hey, right here, I just met you, you should be perfect. No, it's grow up in God. And then you'll see the movement as you keep reading this stunning Sermon on the Mount. It's in the middle, like we're just getting started, kind of an idea. God meets us in our nothingness and grows us up. And in turn, we do the same with others. We meet them right where they are with grace. Oh, that's where you are? You are loved. Hi, now let's walk together and become more together. Yeah, just like I'm becoming, so are you becoming. You're becoming at that point, I'm becoming at this point, but we're both becoming, so let's become together. It's called community. It's really, really helpful. And that never stops. We are always and forever maturing in our becoming. So we as the church are to be a people of grace, as we have received freely from God, meeting us right where we are and growing us up, so we then meet others right where they are in their becoming and go, what's the next right step? You're a green banana. What will it look like to take that next right step towards yellow? Like, we just keep doing this together because the church is made up of human beings who are becoming. We simply name where we are and then take that next right step with God. Or said by the 19th century Anglican theologian John Henry Newman, he said it so well, I love this. God might have formed a perfect church, he chose instead to establish one that was human. Yeah. So when people are like, the church, like, man, there are some things in which the church, and we say the church, human beings, boy, they really muddied that up. Yep. Human beings. Imagine that. Didn't nail it. They're not perfect. How about that? But they're human. They're becoming. We can name it. That's broken. Let's not do that again. That didn't help. So let's mature from that place. Can we grow up and do better stewarding Tov, because we didn't do a very good job. We were actually bad news there. Uh-oh, let's take the good and steward it forward, and then people will go, wow, that was really Tov. That was good news. Or that takes us to Franciscan Father Richard Rohr, who says this: we don't want the church or the Christian tradition to become an antique shop just preserving old things. We want to build on old things and allow them to be useful in different ages, vocabularies, and cultures. We want our faith to what? Be ever new, so that it can speak to souls alive and in need right now. Otherwise, the faith we cherish so much stops working and it can't do its job of turning our hearts toward God and toward one another. Yes, stunning. We, like, when we see like that, we're doing something good in community and growing, but we don't just go, well, let's just hit repeat on that and just do that. Let's stay right there. Well, staying right there and doing that, and what we say is, until we perfect that, or when we got that perfect, let's just click repeat, and you go, well, but that might not make sense to a different culture, a different age, a different thing. We need to keep growing and becoming. Oh, there is an element to that that was really helpful. Let's keep the essence, but the form is going to change. Are you with me? The essence of that. Yeah. Okay, great. We will do that. But there will be some morphing and change. There will be some uniqueness when we meet a different culture, when we're in a different culture. That was so much fun in Puerto Rico, and connecting with a different culture and recognizing how I would interact with people, talk with people, the things that we would did. Or as Eli said it, we were like, what did you love? But what was different? And he said, man, which my oldest son, when he first went, Sawyer went, he said, the hugs, the love they give. He goes, the hugs are so great. And he goes, and all the fake kissing. And Sarah laughed and she goes, fake kissing? He goes, you know, where they put their cheek on your cheek and then they go, and they make the sound. It's not kissing, but he's like, Mom, people were kissing me when they met me. When they met me, they did the fake kissing. And he goes, it was, and he's like, yeah. He goes, just the love. He goes, the people were so kind. And I just loved it so much. It was so good. It was Tov. There was this warmth and this goodness, and it didn't stop. It just kept growing and moving and becoming more and more and more than when we interacted with it. Life is never intended to remain static. Every day is an adventure and challenge. We are looking to the next right step toward a deeper connection with God, while growing in our understanding of how to cultivate the Tov that is ever before us and within us. The question is, how are we cultivating the Tov, both within us and around us? We see the good and we ask, how are we cultivating it and moving it forward, helping it become more? Which is true of you and I. How are we cultivating the Tov within us to become more, to grow? So my hope and prayer, I love this, is that we will absorb the truth of the goodness within us, stewarding it forward, walking with God as he grows us up, and then we kind of capture, as the great novelist John Steinbeck wrote, this. Then, and now that you don't have to be perfect, you can be Tov. Come on. When we're released of that sense of, and this is in the book East of Eden, which has all sorts of theological implications. That is like literally the, when you move east of Eden in the Bible, it's a, when you read that and then they moved east, it's literally the writers are saying, uh-oh. What happens at the very beginning when they leave the garden or they're removed from the garden? But then it says they moved, and it will say they moved east and then they started behaving selfishly. And then they moved east and they started building their own empire. The language of moving east is like a uh-oh warning. You're moving away from where you're supposed to be here growing, becoming, and you're doing your own thing. You're off to build your own empire. You're off to try and create perfect. It's built into the narrative. Instead, when we're free of that and we go, no, it's about Tov and it's about becoming, that we would be set free from the prison of a pursuing a plastic life. And instead, may you sink into the Tov of God. And may we be a church of Tov, growing and maturing and living as good news to the world around us. That we would live that way. We would cultivate the Tov forward. Always look for where is the Tov and how can we steward it forward. That's the invitation for us as a community. Where is God already at work, and how can we come alongside of that and simply steward God's goodness forward? And what happens when we do that is all of the people around us, whatever they believe, whatever is going on, when we cultivate Tov forward, people will go, well, that's good news. Oh, when we steward Tov forward and there's enough. Did you know that the world produces enough food for every single human being on the planet to have plenty to eat? It's not a matter of getting more, it's stewarding. We have a stewardship issue. So is true of our lives. When we steward the good that God has planted in us, created us in, and steward that forward and mature, it's good news to the world. Our invitation is to ask questions about that. How do you cultivate and steward the spark of the divine within you? How do you do that? What practices? You can call them practices, disciplines. What is it? What do you do to cultivate and steward Tov within your own life? A prayer to help silence the unhelpful perfectionism that can haunt us. Gracious God, awaken me to the next right step with you. That I would simply grow, not expecting to arrive or achieve a plastic perfection, but rather mature in the Tov placed within me by you. A simple prayer. Hey, God, you created me and said, Tov, help me cultivate, steward this Tovness forward, which will be good news, I know, for me. And I know it'll be good news for anyone and everyone around me. Because that is how God created in the beginning. Are you with me? Gracious God, I bless you for such a gift as Tov, as this understanding of the beginning and the way you created that it wasn't done. It wasn't finished. It was just getting started. God, you gave us a gift in this dynamism that is creation. This movement that is life. God, I bless you for the Tovness that you have placed in each and every person, and that we are invited, challenged, called, summoned, instructed to steward the Tov forward. God, may we pay attention to that which is within us. Name it, all of it, the good, the Tov, and the Ra'ah, the broken. We just name that within us and know how to steward the becoming forward so that it keeps maturing and growing, which may be naming, confessing, and being rid of that which is not Tov. It's all a part of it, God. And you are good, and you meet us right where we are and invite us and walk with us in that growing up. And so we just invite you here and now as we are, God, that you would do that for us, in us, that you would meet us as you do and continue to help us take that next right step with you in community and cultivate your Tovness forward. We bless you and praise you for all of that growth and movement and goodness, trusting that that freshness is found and seen in all that we do and how we live and how we worship you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.